Good afternoon. Welcome to the Heritage Radio Network Farm Report. It's Friday.
Must be the Farm Report.
You know it. You're here with Heather Hyman
and Lorenzo Reginieri.
And we are joined with a special guest today, Erin Fairbanks. She's here in studio with us. Erin Fairbanks is visiting from Flying Pigs Farm to tell us a little bit about her experience working on farm or with the farm, and most importantly, about the farm camp program that they have going on for food professionals. So welcome to the show, Erin.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Let's not get in trouble. Let's thank our sponsor before we start the show, White Oak Pastures.
White Oak Pastures, ranchers Will of, Harris.
Ranchers of grass-fed cattle.
In Bluffton, Georgia. So we're very happy that they're sponsoring the show for us today. Let's get into hearing a bit about what Erin does with Flying Pigs Farm, and then we'll get into the farm camps section of today's show.
Cool. Well, I moved up to Shushan at the beginning of June. Before that, I had been actually working as a cook in New York City. I worked at Savoy, a job that Patrick from Heritage was instrumental in getting me.
Yeah, I heard a funny story about that. You had some experience working with Heritage Foods once upon a time?
I did. But way back in its like infant days, I was the little girl from Michigan who moved to the big city and helped Patrick primarily with deliveries. It was a pretty exciting every Wednesday. I would meet him down at the Naval Yards. He made me wait for him on Myrtle Avenue, which I don't know if you know, has quite a dangerous reputation, but at 7 in the morning was pretty benign. So we'd pop over to the Naval Yards and load up the...
The U-Haul, right? The unrefrigerated U-Haul. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Things have since changed.
They have definitely changed. And
did you link up with Patrick to begin with?
The other founder of Heritage Foods, Todd Wickstrom, was my boss in Michigan. I worked at Zingerman's Deli in Ann Arbor, Michigan for about 5 years.
World famous Zingerman's.
World famous.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So Todd and Patrick, I met Patrick when he came out to do some promotion for Heritage and talk about the Heritage turkeys, and then decided, you know, I was in love with food and I wanted to dedicate my life to that work, but I didn't really know what that meant. But I knew New York City was like
the place
to do it. So yeah, I packed my bags and borrowed my mom's Dodge Caravan and drove out. And I worked for Heritage for about 4 months.
So you guys were just making deliveries and you decided you wanted to work in a restaurant. And then what happens? Did you deliver the meat and like get a job in the same day?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was definitely one of the like four female delivery people in New York City. So I was the girl walking down Park Avenue with like a pig head in a plastic bag.
Love it.
And when we went into restaurants, Patrick was really great. He'd always introduced me to the chef. You know, this is Erin. She worked at Zingerman. She knows tons. She's looking for work. And I would kind of meekly smile because I was fresh off the boat from the Midwest and terrified of New York City. I popped into Savoy and the sous chef there, Howard Kalashnikov, was like, yeah, we're actually looking for someone. So I came in and, dropped the mixer of dough on the floor and broke something and got hired magically. And
how long did it take you to be able to pronounce his last name? Jeez.
It was a little bit, but yeah, I've worked with Howard the entire time I was cooking. He was my sous chef at Savoy, and he's now working as a sous chef at Gramercy Tavern. He's great.
And I also noticed that those are two of the supporters of the farm camp program. Is that coincidence, or did you?
Not coincidence so much as, I mean, I'm sure as you guys know, the New York food community, like the longer you're around, the smaller it kind of seems. There's a lot of people doing great work, but you kind of run into the same faces. And I had great relationships with my boss, Peter Hoffman at Savoy, and then Mike Anthony at Gramercy Tavern. So when I decided, you know, when we were looking for feedback on farm camp, those people
who came to mind.
Yeah, definitely. And also they have both been longtime customers of Flying Pig. So
right, because one thing I was gonna ask, I mean, because I know your involvement with Flying Pig. I mean, Peter Hoffman at Savoy, they are some of the biggest supporters of local food in New York City, correct?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, did one thing lead to the next in terms of you working at these restaurants and then getting involved with the farm? How did you go from like back of the line to kind of like back to the farm?
Well, when I was in Ann Arbor, I actually worked, I woke up one day and looked around me in my I had piles of books next to my bed, on my bed, and they were all cookbooks or food books. And I was like, all right, time to like let go of that dream to go to law school. That's not going to happen. And I was...
Everyone's got to eat,
sounds like a nightmare to me.
I know. I was like, why don't you be honest with yourself? Like, you want to work in food, and that's okay. So I actually talked to Todd a lot and spent a lot of time working on a, like, 3-year vision of my life. At Zingerman's, they're very big on like long-term planning and visioning. And so
I've seen some serious Excel spreadsheet flowcharts and all those fun things.
Yeah, lots of graphs. So working on that, I kind of made the decision that I would go to New York City and cook for a year. I'd go work on a farm for a year, and then I'd do some type of nonprofit advocacy work around food.
So Todd was like,
you're in phase three.
I'm in kind of phase two and three, kind of turn into the same thing.
Because food camp can be thought of as advocacy.
Absolutely.
Wow, so that's interesting. So by the time, so you've created like your own post-grad curriculum.
Yeah.
Experience-based post-grad curriculum. That's genius. So by the time you're done with this phase three, you'll have understood basically every level of the food infrastructure.
That's my hope. I was planning on only cooking for a year, but I also thought that a year, I was like, I'll come to New York. I'll be a cook for a year. I'll master it. And it did not take longer than a few hours to realize that was not going to be the case. And so I ended up cooking for about 3.5 years. And I knew when I moved here that it was important to me to work for a restaurant that, you know, sourced their ingredients responsibly. And both Savoy and Gramercy Tavern are well known for their work in that area.
Definitely.
Both have been, you know, customers, I think, of Heritage and
the
Flying Pigs.
They're great supporters, for sure. Definitely.
What does responsible sourcing mean to you?
To me, it means that you have a relationship with the people that you're buying food from. So you know where it's coming from. You know the practices used to create it, whether that's, you know, growing animals or growing vegetables or producing olive oil. I think restaurants have a lot of buying power. They act as tastemakers.
We like the phrase "vote with your dollar."
Exactly. So I think they also have the chefs have a lot of skill. You know, they have a palate, and they can, I think, use their power for good or evil. Mm-hmm. and so I think buying responsibly is knowing what's happening, you know, behind the food. You know, the case of fennel shows up, like, where did it come from, and what were the practices used to create it? Because it didn't just appear out of nowhere.
No way.
So, I don't know, that's, yeah.
It's kind of funny. You could kind of relate, like, responsible buying in a sense to when, you're a young child and you want to know where babies come from and you think they just come from the store.
Exactly.
It's like you want a chicken breast or something, and then make it so easy. It just comes from the store.
It's
but
magic.
Really, it's not that easy. It comes from the farm. So
exactly.
Different kind of farm in the case of babies, but a farm.
But it's not something that should just be thought of in like that same kind of easy, like elementary, like, you know, it comes in this, you know, perfect little package and it's ready to go. So I think that's something that we all like are starting to really appreciate. And I guess the restaurants that you were working with, and you most certainly do on that understanding, of course.
Yeah. So I think it was building on wanting to learn more about that like food journey, where food was coming from and what are the infrastructures or systems that are impacting like how food moves around and how people have access to it. I was going to work as a cook, and 3.5 years went by and I'd kind of worked my way up, and I realized that I didn't want any of the sous chef jobs that I'd been offered, and I didn't want to open my own place. And I was like, what's going on? You know, what am I doing? And then I was like, wait a minute.
I have a plan.
I had a plan. So I emailed Mike and Jen, and I was like,
and Mike and Jen are the owners of
Flying Pig Farm.
And they're in upstate New York, right?
They're in upstate New York. They're in Shushan, New York. Which Shushan's not, you know, you can't check the city or town box for Shushan. It's like a hamlet, I think.
Oh, so maybe. Like if you tried the FedEx
that's
there.
A technical term too,
yeah.
Right? Hamlet.
Yeah, it's New York State has these very strange, like, you're in a hamlet, in a city, in a town all at once. Like, I don't really totally understand it, but it's tiny.
Between a village and a shire.
Yeah, something like that. So I had been up to the farm a few times before when I was working at Savoy. Mike Yezzi, who's the co-founder and owner, Flying Pigs was doing deliveries there. So he would show up every Wednesday with the pig and I would kind of make small chat. And one day I was like, hey, can I come up to the farm? And he gave me this look like, you know, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'd gone up, you know, and I spent like, I had the small town 4th of July, you know, the firemen's parade and the carnival and went down the river and hung out on the farm. I did that for 2 years. And then, so when I was thinking about, you know, what farm to move to, mm-hmm. they were kind of top up my list because I'd been there before. I felt comfortable with them. They're like really involved. You know, they're more than just farmers. Jen works full time for American Farmland Trust. Mm-hmm. So she's a passionate advocate for farmland preservation. They were both the original founders of Farm to Chef Express. And I figured that they would be great people to learn from. So I moved up there at the beginning of June and kind of commenced to learn what it meant to be a pig farmer. The two guys I work with, Andrew and Blake Pike, are cousins from Vermont who do the majority of the day-to-day kind of farm work, making sure everyone's fed, has, you know, plenty of access to water, plenty of room to graze in. We do rare breed heritage pigs raised on pasture. We also raise chickens for meat, and then we also raise laying hens. So for the last 3 months, I've been spending my mornings kind of learning how to chase down a pig and take care of a chicken, figure out, like, by looking, is that chicken cold? Is it warm? Does it, you haven't, you know, are there enough feeders in there? Is there enough water?
Do you get to pick the eggs?
Get to pick the eggs, which is definitely one of my favorite things.
I'm sure.
It is. It is. And, you know, just kind of learning about, like, how that basic, like, day-to-day life works and what are the things that are challenging and what are the things that are rewarding. So I've been working on that up at the farm. And then also Mike and Jen had applied for a grant from the New York State Department of Ag and Markets in, I think, 2006. I looked at the original grant with Jen. She's like, hey, take a look at this program. Do you think, you know, cooks would be into this? And I was like, yeah.
Well, you know,
and that's farm camp.
That's farm camp, yeah.
Well, what's
for food professionals.
For food professionals, thank you.
Well, what's funny about this is it's not backwards in the sense, but, you know, you worked in the restaurant first, and then, like, you go back to figure out where the food comes from. You know, it's like when you work in a restaurant, before you can ever become really the general manager, you need to be the busboy. So we're kind of like, as, like, you know, this growing, like, care for, like, sourcing our food, you know, humanely or in, like, the most responsible way possible, almost moving backwards now, because we've always been sourcing food, but we may not have always been doing it in the most responsible way. So here you guys come along with something for the food professionals who have already been cooking, but they don't know where this food's come from. So how did this grant go from, you know, just an idea to changing what's happening with the, you know, area surrounding New York City and that food scene?
Well, basically, the last 3 months, we've spent really kind of nailing down the specifics of the grant. So I've been meeting with farmers in the area, kind of learning about their operations so we can figure out, because I come from the background of cooking, I think that I have a good idea of, like, what's interesting to cooks and, like, what are things that I know I've found surprising on the farm or information that they've shared with me that, like, yeah, cooks want to know about this. So meeting with those farmers, like, kind of getting together a schedule and then figuring out how it all was going to work. You know, what were we going to charge? Where were people going to sleep? And what kind of, like, what was the overarching experience that we wanted them to have? Mm-hmm. And kind of comes down to the balance of two things. One is, like, taking the conversation about food beyond, you know, buying local. Buying local is great. Supporting your local farmers market, you know, developing relationships with your farmers. That's cool. And a lot of the people that I think are going to be interested in coming up to camp kind of know about that. So what are kind of the next steps in impacting change in agriculture and building, like, a secure mm-hmm. and vibrant food system? So looking at farmland preservation, looking at rare breed protection and how to, you know, grow and support
marketing.
And marketing. Exactly. And then also looking at food distribution, like, how does food move around the state? And,
well, infrastructure is, like, yeah, the biggest challenge. And I know we were speaking earlier about, you know, Heritage Foods had taken a few chefs to the farm back last year into Myrtle, Missouri, and to our slaughterhouse in Trimble, Missouri. And we kind of wanted to show them the whole process, you know, exactly where their pigs are coming from, who's butchering them, and how they're being slaughtered. So so you mentioned that there are both parts of those aspects in your program right now, but there's not necessarily a slaughterhouse. Right now you're just working with a butcher, which means that you're only able to sell within New York State, correct?
Not exactly. We do a little bit of mail order, and we sell mail order nationally. We work with a slaughter. We how it works at Flying Pig is on Tuesdays we send the pigs to the butcher or to the slaughterhouse in Hilltown, and they slaughter the pigs for us. And then Thursday morning we go pick them up, and we bring half the pigs back to our butcher, who turns them into the retail cuts, the you know, the chops, the bacon, the sausages. And the other half stay as whole pigs that we bring down for our restaurant sales. And so the retail cuts we sell both at the Farmers Market here in New York City at Union Square on Fridays and Saturdays, and at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn on Saturdays. And then we also offer things via mail order. And that goes out all over the country.
And so who's the person that's processing, that's USDA inspected, that's allowing for this to move across the country?
It's not a USDA inspected. The butcher shop is not a USDA inspected facility right now. They Mike and Jen have their own license.
Okay.
That's owned by Flying Pig Farm. So essentially when they open the cooler and pull out our pigs at our butcher shop, which is Eagle Bridge Custom Meats in Eagle Bridge, New York, they are our employees for that 8-hour, 10-hour day while they're cutting our meat.
Okay.
So the rest of the stuff, the rest of the time when they're working with other people's food, they're, you know, they're not inspected. But during that time, they're technically our employees.
So you guys kind of like have someone hired to do that inspection to allow for a mail order.
Yeah, it's like it's like 21-3C. It's a special license. I don't remember the exact.
Right, because you were mentioning that soon there will be a slaughterhouse opening up that will allow this farm program, I guess, to even expand one step further.
Exactly. So that, like, that's the other aspect. So the farm camp is going to balance those larger scale kind of talking issues, where we'll bring in professionals in those areas to come in and talk with us about food distribution and farmland protection. The other aspect of the program is to really create an opportunity for people who are food professionals to have transformative hands-on experiences. So
that they'll bring back to the kitchen with them, sure.
Yeah, collecting eggs, slaughtering their own chicken, visiting cheese caves, visiting our butcher shop, and then hopefully at that point the slaughterhouse will be up and running. And we'll be able to do that as
well.
That
would be awesome. I mean,
so it's like a spin on the agritourism model, but it's even maybe a little more hands-on and a little more, and it covers more aspects of the food processing system.
Yeah, like basically with each farm we visit, we're trying to ask ourselves, like, what would a chef want to take away from this experience? What's going to be special about this to a cook versus someone who is just coming in off the street? It's like, oh, you know, I like food. I like to buy at the farmer's market. There's a great audience for that. But we chose to focus this program specifically for food professionals. So any aspect that we can get more hands-on, that we can allow people to, you know, touch something or taste something or go even further behind the scenes or explore a particular component of that farm's work on a deeper level. So instead of just having a tour of the farm, will do a brief overview, but then we'll go really delve into a particular issue, whether that's like how milk gets priced and the impacts of pumping or pasteurization.
Wow.
You know, and the dairy industry. So we're going to go beyond the kind of facade of a farm tour. We're taking it a little deeper.
And you end up, do you ever end up eating anything that was like killed that day? You know, and the chefs, do they get a chance to cook for the farmers? How does that happen?
They slaughter their own chickens there, right? Some of the chefs will come on and slaughter their own chicken.
That's the plan. So the program actually, this is its first year. So we're going to start running sessions on September 20th. So right now we're just actually signing people up.
Nice.
We haven't had a full session yet. So
meaning you're not filled up?
We have space in our sessions, and we also haven't run a session yet.
Okay.
So the session on the 20th and the 21st will be our inaugural.
How can people find out? Is this only available to chefs, or is this available to food enthusiasts as well?
It's available to people who are working professionally in the food world. Okay. So chefs, cooks, wait managers. Staff, managers, people who work in the retail aspects. We have a
sommeliers.
Mm-hmm, sommeliers. I would love to get some, you know, people who are professionally brewing coffee to come. I think like that's a really under the milk issue is really huge in New York State in particular right now, and it would be great to get people who are really exploring artisanal like single origin coffees to also have single origin milk.
Wonderful. Well, maybe we can have you on the show with that's being broadcast for the first time next Sunday, the Caffeine Stream with Nicole Slavin. It's going to be a real like coffee enthusiast program, and that would be great to, you know, kind of have you on with her too and, you know, connect the dots there.
Yeah, that's the hope is that in addition to learning from what's going on at camp, the places we're taking the campers and the things that we're showing them, is that they'll also create relationships and learn from each other so that we can look to build on knowledge that people bring into the camp. We can share that.
So this trip, so what the chef might take away from this trip is also a relationship with certain farmers. So for these farmers, it behooves them to to participate in this program, because then they might forge a bond. The chef sees their product. He says, you know, I want this product.
But I want it this way.
Let's figure out a way to get it to the restaurant, you know. So it's something that helps both the production,
absolutely,
all sides of the production chain.
Yeah, definitely. Like the long-term goal is that we'll sell more New York State produced food, you know, that people will come up and they'll visit, you know, Maple Land Farms, and they'll taste the maple syrup there, and they'll be like, you know what? That's where I want to get my syrup from.
Yeah.
They'll have the milk at the Battenkill Creamery. They'll have the chance to talk with Seth, who's a fifth-generation farmer.
Appreciate it so much more.
Absolutely.
You want to support them. You want to give them a little more money for what they're doing to really, you know, explain to you why this is important to buy from them. I mean,
and you have that physical memory of, like, why it costs more and why it's different.
Definitely. It's very important. I think that's, you know, very much in line with what Heritage Foods USA does just in our marketing plan. It's just a little different because not everyone gets a chance to come direct to the farm, so we give them as much information as possible, like on our website.
Absolutely. And with the tracking numbers and
yeah, traceability. Yep. You know, all your profiles. So it sounds like the mission is definitely very much in line with like this whole overall, like, making sure everyone knows where their food is coming from, and it's quite important.
And this the popularity of the locavore movement and of people wanting to know where their food is coming from, I mean, do you think this accounts for the rise in popularity of agrotourism, which is a fairly new...
I think partially, but I think the rise in agrotourism is farmers making a desperate grasp to hold on to their farms and their lifestyle. I think, you know, it's hard to make it as a farmer in any aspect of farming, dairy farming, vegetable farming, meat farming.
Everything's perishable.
Everything, yeah, everything is perishable. But I think looking at building in agrotourism components is a way that farms are looking to, you know, sustain their existence.
It's an extra stream of revenue for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, not like they're not always... They're doing the work anyway, so let's bring a few extra helping hands. And it's not even like you're having interns. You're having people that want to, I mean, you're having people pay to come help because they want to learn. And that's what's so special about it. And then they're coming back and they're telling the rest of the people on the line, I had this experience. This is where our food's coming from. Why don't you guys try going next weekend? I mean, do you have like, visitors from the same restaurant? Like, you know,
that's what I'm hoping for. You know, like I said, this is our first year running the program. So we're definitely learning a lot all through the way, you know, and not exactly sure what to expect. Hoping for like a great response, and definitely have, you know, people signing up and things are happening. And we'll just kind of keep learning and hopefully be able to kind of continue the program into the future. And
is there a reason why right now it's only open to food professionals? I mean, do you think it's because you're in your beginning stages and then maybe you'll go?
It's designed for them. It's a little more, it would be like having someone who just wants to go for a hike, go on a Knowles trip. It's a little more involved than just what the average agritourist might want, right?
Well, I think the intent is to make it more involved. Not to say that it wouldn't be interesting or accessible to someone who wasn't a food professional, but, you know, we are you know, paying the farms we tour a small, like, stipend for sharing their time with us, but they're busy people, mm-hmm. you know, and having 15 people show up at your farm for an hour and a half, 2 hours that you, you know, have to stop and do work, you know, that's a thing. And we want it to be compelling both for our farmers and for the people who are visiting. So
we need to get the visitors doing more chores.
Well, the visitors doing chores, what would be great is more the focus on, you know, forging relationships that turn into, you know, orders for our farmers, where they're like, man, Ben from Garden of Spice, like, your chickens are beautiful. You taught me how to slaughter a chicken. Yeah. That was crazy. I never thought I would get to do that.
And now they talk every week and all.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
And I guess you wouldn't get the same kind of volume from, like, just like, you know, a home chef who loves the fact that they get to visit you at the market. They wouldn't be placing orders for, like, the same type of volume as a restaurant would. So right now, it's not really beneficial, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's just not what we chose to focus on this year. I mean, it would be a great problem if we had so much demand that we had to create a whole separate program.
That would be great.
But yeah, we chose to limit it to food professionals because we really wanted that particular experience for them with each other and then with the relationships that they're building with the farms.
Now, how can you give us a website or a way for some of our chefs that listen to this program to get in touch with you to sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. The website is www.farmcampnewyork.com.
Okay.
And it kind of gives you an overview of what to expect from the day on the farm, talks about some of the farms that we're going to be working with. There's some names that I think if you've been working in the New York City food scene for a while, you recognize. Baton Kill Valley Creamery, Consider Bardwell, Dancing Ew, Garden of Spice, Mapleland Farms. We have a really kind of solid list of people, and hopefully as the program is successful, we'll be able to add more farmers to that list.
And are you allowed to disclose the price here?
It's only $150, right?
Yeah, it's $149.
So no excuses for people.
There are no excuses. We really wanted to focus on keeping the price as low as possible.
I was really surprised. I actually expected something.
Even if the restaurant owner doesn't want to pay, that chef should be paying.
It was important to us that, you know, I came to the farm after working on the line, and unfortunately, you know, line cooks, you just don't make a ton of money. And to have, you know, take 2 days away from work to be up doing an intensive 2 days of, like, learning and
for your work.
And, you know, that's a lot to ask of someone. And we think that they're getting a real value for that. And
it should be mandatory for all high-end New York City restaurants.
I think time on the farm.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the busboy before your manager. I mean,
the management should pay for it because it makes their chefs bake better. It makes their servers more well-informed.
And at least a better food. I mean, I know personally as a cook, the chicken or the pork products that I'm cooking with on the farm, after you spend time with that live animal, I mean, you come back to the kitchen different. You pay more attention. You are more creative with using all components. You're not going to waste it. You're not going to, like, be inattentive. Not to say that cooks are, but it just reinforces all those things that lead to great food.
And I had the same experience when
that should be its motto. Reinforcing the things that lead to great food.
Definitely. Well, you know, I mean, it was my first time ever seeing a pig get slaughtered in Trimble, Missouri at Paradise Locker Meats. And when I watched them clean out the head, I was like, wow, I'm really going to be able to appreciate this so much more. And I went back and I started trying testa and head cheese and really realizing, like, how beautiful it is the way that they're cleaning the animal. And it's every part. I mean, this was on the farm that I was just at 2 days earlier, alive and coming up to me and not being scared of me. And here it is now, and it's ready to be broken up and hung in the cooler. But I'm going to go home and I'm going to appreciate those pig ears in my salad a lot more than I ever thought I would.
Absolutely. I think that's why we use the word transformative, because I think there's just no excuse for, like, there's no substitute for time on the farm. There's no substitute for actually, you know, putting your hands on the animals, to seeing what it takes to keep them going, and to just being exposed to what that lifestyle looks like. I think it informs your thinking about food in a really powerful way.
I would agree. I think we're going to get ready to wrap it up here. So if there was any, like, closing remarks or anything that you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to, this is your time.
Right?
Not, you know, in case we missed anything.
I think just to reiterate, the website is www.farmcampnewyork.com, and that the other reason that the price is so low is we received a very generous grant from the New York State Department of Ag and Markets. They do a lot of great work to support farmers and definitely deserve our support. And
so check them out and check this show out on our archives at www.heritageradionetwork.com. We want to thank our sponsor today, White Oak Pastures, our fabulous engineer, Nat Wiener, our amazing hostess, Heather Hyman, and our lovely guest, Erin.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you again.